I'm Ruth Kramer with Mission Network News. Iran is intensifying crackdowns on anything perceived as Western. The regime announced a new campaign increasing arrests of women without hijab in public. Iranian women who've been arrested say they're being accused of loving America. Iranian Christians are also treated with suspicion for ties to the West. Joe Willie with Sat7 says they recently heard from one Iranian viewer who was denied a job simply for putting Christian as the religion on his application. Pray for Iranian Christians' gospel witness. And the record-breaking Jesus film is hitting theaters worldwide in a new animated format December 2025, hoping to target a younger generation engaging with media in new ways. The original format of the film was translated into over 2,100 languages, and the animated film plans to do the same, starting with English. You can visit Jesus.film or download the Jesus Film Insider app. We'll connect you at missionnews.org. Mission Network News, a service of One Way Ministries. I'm Ruth Kramer.
Ignition sequence time.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engines running. Commit liftoff.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to SWAT Radio. I'm David Gray in for Doug McCary today, with my friend and SWAT brother, Brad Sykes, and we are glad that you are with us as we start another week here on SWAT Radio, continuing to look at our study in the Gospel of Mark. So, Brad, how you doing?
Good, buddy. Are you out of breath?
You got to give me a chance to catch my breath, yeah. Little aerobic action there coming up the stairs.
Oh, exactly. You know, I tell people, this isn't my full-time job.
I wish it was, actually.
Is it yours?
No. It's not. I have a running joke with the wonderful staff here at the Salem Center. I came in today and Angie was sitting behind the front desk, and there's a small conference room downstairs. And I tend to come into that and I'll set up my laptop in there.
Right.
And I might come in around noon, depending on what my schedule's like on a day when I'm on the radio with you. And, today I came in and I started to say, is that conference room open? And before I could get a word out, she just said, no.
But you were in there, I think.
It was. She was joking, of course. Yeah. But I'm starting to refer to it as my office. And it gets a little busy at times, yeah. But we make it work.
I usually pull in, and if Doug is on the air with me, you know, I look for his truck in the parking lot. And if you're in, I look for your truck or Brian or Craig. You know, I don't know if I have Craig's vehicle figured out. I didn't actually see your truck out there, but
I pulled in about today. It was around 2:30, so you were probably here before me.
Oh yeah.
Anyway.
No. You were here long before me.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
How was your weekend, man?
Good. Too short as usual, yep. And busy, but good weekend, and got a little golf in. So
good
that,
for you.
That was nice.
Good
and,
for you.
Yeah, Scott Baldwin, our old friend from SWAT, is a bad influence on me.
He is.
That's what we always say. Yeah, no, he's been
Scott's
great.
Scott's a great guy.
He is. We have fun, and we have a running joke. You know, Scott is a tinkerer with clubs and equipment, and he's always buying something new. So most of what I have, I've bought from him after he used it for just a short time. He's given me great deals.
I've probably mentioned this before. If he has anything he wants to unload, in fact, Doug and I went and played, or not played, we went and hit balls at Topgolf, I think twice last week, or may have been once last week, once the week before. He's got a big golf game coming up. So he hadn't played in like 2 years.
That's right.
I'm like, listen, we don't need to go play golf. Why don't we just go to a driving range? Topgolf is a great spot to do that. So anyway, Vicky's been telling me, you need to get a new set of clubs. You know that old thing, if you're talking to a non-golfer, they don't realize how expensive things are.
Oh, it's really unbelievable.
You know, it's like my kids grew up elite level swimmers. And you think, well, what do you need to swim? A swimsuit that barely covers anything? Listen, swimsuits are extremely expensive. Goggles are expensive. You know, it's like if you're really into a sport and you want to update your stuff, it's expensive. I told her, babe, you know, golf clubs, I won't quote numbers, but they're expensive.
They are.
And I said, you know, for a person who may play 6 times this year, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if Scott has a set he wants to unload, just let me know.
You never know with him. I always tell him, we call it Baldwin Golf. And He always says he's going to, you know, you come up and down Phillips Highway or US 1 and you see the honey stands, people selling honey or fruit. Yeah. He's going to have a little golf stand there by the side of the road on Phillips Highway.
I probably could do that myself. I actually have a lot of golf clubs, but they're not worth anything. So maybe I'll just take them down to Goodwill, let them take them from there. Anything new on the headlines today?
Yeah, I really have not checked that much.
I noticed that Colombia holds off the threat, of having police come by again. This whole thing that's happening in these universities is just incredible. Just absolutely. You know, people wonder if people were to leave this country 30 years ago and come back today, they wouldn't even recognize it. You know, just the anti-Israel agitators.
Yep.
It's just incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. It really is. And I saw a couple of things kind of coming out of this that I thought were interesting. One, how many of these kids that are involved in all these anti-Israel protests have had their student loans forgiven.
Exactly.
By our government.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now also I'm seeing a story about the current administration accusing Israel of human rights violations and condemning them for human rights violations as opposed to their enemy, who is also our enemy. I mean, I don't think sometimes, I am not smart enough to understand all this by any stretch of the imagination. And I know we like to, as we should, kind of stay away from politics and everything here. But I think a huge problem in the world is that people do not understand the nature of evil. And I'm not saying I have it all figured out either, but we know what the Bible teaches about evil. And we know that evil is very real and active in the world, that our battle is against powers and rulers and authorities in the spiritual realms, and that Satan and his legions are actively involved in the world, and he uses whether it's governments or false religions or whatever it is as his agents.
Absolutely.
These kids, and I agree with you. I think that there's probably a lot of outside activists and agitators that are working in these protests, and then the kids get caught up in it. They don't really know what the enemy there or the group that they're advocating for would love to do to us.
Right, right. Well, that's the crazy thing is that some of these that their titles. Queers against, you know, or queers for Hamas or queers for Palestine, or listen, you take your queer over there, you'll be dead.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a fact.
Yeah. Yeah.
And,
and let's be clear. We know that there's a whole group of people over there, citizens, if you will, Palestinian citizens that are caught in the middle of this, just like Israeli citizens are, and that there's plenty of Palestinian people and Israelis in the common citizenry, if you will, that have lived peacefully together for decades.
Right, right.
And this is not about them or about one group being better than the other or anything like that. It's about objectives of the leaders of these groups. And
what's the goal?
Yeah, exactly.
Their
stated goal is to wipe out Israel.
Yeah.
And they're the little Satan and we're the great Satan.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, they'd love to wipe us out too. And I just think that, you know, again, it's very easy, I think especially, you know, and this is a great thing. I'm thankful for this. Think about in our lifetime. I mean, you and I were kids during Vietnam for the most part, but we knew of it. We were maybe impacted by it a little bit, maybe knew some families or people that had men fighting over there or women serving as well. And then, you know, we've certainly seen like the Gulf Wars and we've seen 9/11, but we've had unprecedented peace,
no doubt,
in so many ways. And I just think that there's a whole generation of people, multiple generations, that just have lost sight of, you know, our place in the world. I'm not saying we're perfect or anything,
but how good it really is here.
And what it's like to have an enemy that, I mean, 9/11 was a taste of that.
Yeah, exactly.
And
we've totally lost sight of that.
Oh,
you know, I mean,
absolutely.
You think about here we've got an open border, and I know we don't get into a lot of this kind of discussion, but the reality is we've got an open border. We have had it for three and a half years, and look at how many people want to get into this country. Mm-hmm. And yet that same party who has opened the border is also saying we are so bad. We are such an evil country. Mm-hmm. We're such an evil people.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it doesn't.
And, you know, it goes back. I have to be reminded I can get caught up in this stuff and Absolutely. Get very upset is that this is not my home.
Yep.
I am just an ambassador. I'm just passing through. Mm-hmm. And I've got a mission here.
Yeah.
You know, and you were talking about a mission. You know, Hamas has a mission.
Yep.
Israel has a mission. What is our mission?
Mm-hmm.
You know? Of course, we know as Christians what our mission is.
Yeah, and we certainly were talking about that quite a bit last week.
Yeah,
And, you know, the Doug's takeaway questions from last week, are, as always, are so good. But that idea of, you know, are we being bold mm-hmm. on that mission? Are we being bold and sharing in a world of unbelief? Are we sharing the truth? And are we willing to share the consequences of unbelief and also take the consequences mm-hmm. of how people are going to react to us
right.
or treat us.
Right. Yeah. So. I mean, don't, you know, as Jesus said, I think it's interesting that what we looked at last week comes after his trip to Nazareth, his hometown, and how they rejected him mm-hmm. there. And it was kind of a taste for the 12 who went out two by two is to say, hey, I am Messiah. I am the Christ, and this is how they treat me in my mm-hmm. hometown.
Yeah.
Don't expect anything a whole lot different than that, or at least be aware that that's a possibility.
Yeah.
You know, and yet we go out in our sweet little, you know, luxuries, and somebody says anything against us, and we get our feathers all up.
Yeah. And today, as we get into this next section in Mark about, it's kind of an interlude, if you will, about Herod and John the Baptist. And, you know, we continue to see the playing out, right, of Jesus' parable of the vineyard owner mm-hmm. who rents out the vineyard and sends servants back to collect the profit or the fruit or the produce, and then ultimately sends his son, and they mistreat them all and ultimately kill the son.
Yeah.
And we see that right up through John the Baptist and Jesus. So to your point about what Jesus said to the disciples, if this is how they treat me, they're going to treat you like that as well. Don't expect anything different. Because they hate me, they'll hate you.
That's right.
But then he goes on to say, but be glad when people insult you and, mm-hmm. and persecute you. I almost said prosecute, but persecute you for my name's sake, because great is your reward in heaven. So yeah. and that's almost like, it is evidence, right, that we belong to him when that mm-hmm. happens. So.
Yeah, we belong to him and we're going somewhere.
And, yeah. And boy, if we didn't have that assurance and that promise of his, then what would it be like to try to take all that and continue on?
So. But how easy it is for those of us who live in the luxuries that we live in to become very attached to the things of this world. We were having dinner last night. And right behind our table was a table full of Ukrainian pastors. Great talking to them and hearing what's going on. And they're going back over there, you know, and we sit in our comfortable spots. Mm-hmm. And you think about what they're doing. And, you know, people all over the world who follow Christ are in grave danger, you know, and yet we're not. We're just trying to preserve what we have.
Yeah.
You know.
What is the and you know, you bring that up, that's a good point. I'm lax a lot of times in keeping up with what is happening to the church in other countries. And I know Voice of the Martyr is an organization and source of information on what's happening with that, but I'm definitely reminded of the need to pray for the church around Amen. The world, because they are really people in other places are facing really difficult Amen. Things.
So. And they're faithful in that situation. Right. That's so much of what we've been talking about is remaining faithful. Mm. You know, it's, will we be faithful in the face of persecution?
Right.
Well, I pray we would.
We're going to take our first break on SWAT Radio and come back and continue on in Mark chapter 6. Give us a call at 844-777-7928 with a comment or a question, and we'll be right back after the break.
If you'd like to contact SWAT Radio, the toll-free number is 1-844-777-7928. That's 844-777-7928 or 844-777-SWAT. You can also listen to this program through the WTRJ The Truth app from the App Store or over the Internet by accessing www.swatradio.com. We'll be back shortly for further discussion and to take your calls.
We're so grateful for having people like Tom Neal Truck Company sponsoring SWAT Radio. Tom Neal Truck Company is located at 417 Edgewood Avenue South in Jacksonville, Florida. Tom Neal is a full-service franchise truck dealer for Freightliner, Western Star, Volvo, Isuzu, and Sprinter vans, offering new and used truck sales, service, parts, and truck rental and leasing to the North Florida and South Georgia truck market. More information on Tom Neal Truck Company is located at www.tomnehl.com.
The Florida Georgia Truth Network, heard in Amelia Island at 91.3.
Welcome back to SWAT Radio, everyone. David Gray and Brad Sykes, glad that you are with us as we continue our study in Mark. We're in Mark chapter 6, and today we're going to be looking, and this week we're going to be looking at verses 14 through 29 in Mark chapter 6. And Doug's title for this particular portion of the study is Herod Antipas, an ungodly, wicked leader. And maybe we can, one of the things I liked about this lesson was it helped me again clarify all the Herods.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
There's a lot of Herods, right? And
This is the son of King Herod. I was talking to Doug about that. Did you guys, on your trip to Israel, did y'all go up to Caesarea Maritime?
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
And that was his father.
Right, right. Herod the Great, the one who was around at the time of Jesus' mm-hmm. birth and would have ordered the killing of all the males under 2 years old in the region of Bethlehem, and it was that Herod. And you're right, he was, one of the things Doug talked about while we were in Israel was he was an incredible builder. He was all about himself and his own fame and his own glory, but he was an incredible builder, and he built all that stuff, if you will, at Caesarea Maritime, mm-hmm. which is on the Mediterranean coast. Paul spent time there when he was on trial before Festus and Felix and waiting to go to Rome to be heard by Caesar. And then he also had the mountain retreat on Herodian.
Yes,
the mountain, amazing. Right outside of Bethlehem, and that's where his tomb is.
Mm-hmm.
But Doug, and then he had, of course, Masada,
right,
which was just from a purely touristy standpoint, it was an incredible thing to see.
Yeah, true.
That he would build something that high up that could sustain. I think the stat is that it was built to sustain in the desert 10,000 soldiers for a period of up to 6 months.
Think about the water.
Yeah.
How do you get water up
right.
there?
It's right.
incredible.
And he had the all the water collection systems and the cisterns, mm-hmm. and it was really something else.
Yeah. Very impressive guy.
It was. But Doug pointed out, too, like, you know, of course, we take this a little bit with a grain of salt, right? But when you're in Jerusalem and you go to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, that's the traditional site of where Jesus' tomb was.
Mm-hmm.
And you go in there, and of course, it's packed with people lined up to see
right. That
site. And when we were on Herodian, you know, there were some people there, but Doug said, look, is there anybody really here to see Herod's tomb?
Right.
And of course, Herod thought there would be probably, but, you know, and it's kind of crumbling a little bit, and, you know, it's Herod's does not have the legacy, nor should he, that others have.
So. Well, I think it's interesting, even as you look at the text we're looking at this week, is that we see a story where Jesus isn't the main character.
Right.
Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist, the last Old Testament prophet and greatest prophet prior to Jesus, is murdered by Herod Antipas. And anyway, that's, you know, what we're going to see in this text today. And picking up even from last week, basically, you know, what we were talking about earlier is that you know, Jesus sends out the 12 on their first mission trip. We called it the first short-term mission trip. And he sent them to proclaim the Evangelion, the gospel, the good news, to project his authority, to prove their dependence on God, which was probably the thing that most impacted me, is how dependent I am on so many things, and to point out unbelief and its consequences, mm-hmm. and then finally to persevere to the end. I was just thinking about that as we went into this last break, how, you know, it was so great having my dad here a couple of weeks ago. It's just, I think about my dad, who's almost 89, your dad, you know, wanting to see them persevere to mm-hmm. the end.
Yeah.
Especially for us who live comfortable lives. It's like, you know, we look forward to retirement so that we can relax. And, you know, the reality is I want to persevere. I want to run the race right. Well, and I want to finish strong.
Yeah.
And anyway,
yep.
I know you're the same way. That's yep. One of the things we really try to encourage, because we've got a fair amount of seasoned men, as I like to call them, within our SWAT community.
Yeah, and you know, I think in some ways we're more equipped to persevere to the end as we get older than when we're younger. Younger, we may be more physically capable and more mm-hmm. physically strong, but the experience that our walk with Christ brings, and the maturation and the sanctification, again, it's a lifelong process.
Yes, it is.
But, you know, I'm so much more, I hope, grateful now and thankful for so many things than I was, that things that I took for granted
mm-hmm.
in the past.
Yeah.
And I hope that that's going to be part of my persevering.
Yeah.
That that'll show through.
Well, and what are you passing down? Mm. You know, especially as we look at this text today, you've got Herod the Great dies. He leaves his kingdom to four sons who each ruled a quarter of the kingdom.
Right.
They were called tetrarchs. In the same way, what are we leaving behind? You know, I think there's so much that I want to see in my sons. I want to see it in my son-in-laws. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to see men of God. I want to see faithful men who are running the race well, not perfectly.
Right.
They won't run it perfectly.
Right.
But
right. Anyway. Yep. And you know, just to finish up the review points from last week, you mentioned, you know, that Jesus sent them out to proclaim Evangelion, project his authority, prove their dependence, persevere to the end, which we just talked about, but also to point out unbelief and its consequences. And I think of John the Baptist in this text we're about to read, being bold, to say the least,
mm-hmm.
to point out to Herod, it's what got him killed, essentially.
That's right.
Point out to Herod his unbelief and his sin,
yeah.
and the consequences of that. And of course, as so many times in Scripture, it appears that the world, if you will, has the upper hand and wins. But of course, that's not the case. The Bible is full of, and then the ultimate is Jesus, of death is required in order to have life, or seeming mm-hmm. death, right, is mm-hmm. required in order to have the life that God intends and the life that God has planned. Whether it's dying to ourselves, or we're physically dying at some point, right?
Yeah.
And so we're going to see that real examples of these things in John the Baptist, and this, all these things that Jesus sent the disciples out to proclaim, we see in John the Baptist. So,
yeah. Well, just a little context to this. Herod Antipas, as we said, he ruled the area around Galilee for 42 years until Caligula removed him as leader of that region. He was an illegitimate. He had an illegitimately relationship with his brothers, Philip's wife.
Right.
And because John the Baptist was continually pointing out the sin of Herod Antipas, he had him arrested, Mark chapter 1, verse 14. Anyway, that's kind of what we're looking at, even as we look at this text today.
Yeah.
I love this. You know, John was a man of conviction who served God and feared no man. And boy, what a good reminder. Sorry about that. Helps to turn your volume off on your ringer.
Yeah, he feared no man. And I think maybe you were going to refer to Matthew 3:7, right? Is that right? Do I have that passage?
Yeah, no,
right?
I'm thinking about
that. Oh, I'm looking at Mark.
No, Matthew 3:7.
Matthew's the one before that. Yeah, you brood of vipers. That's right.
Yeah, but you think about your convictions. How much do you believe what you believe? I mean, we say we believe something, but boy, John the Baptist, talk about bold.
Yeah.
Matthew 3:7, you brood of vipers.
He said that, right, to the Pharisees and Sadducees coming out to where he was baptizing. You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not presume to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father, for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Wow. And then he goes on to say, even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Of course, that sounds just like Jesus at times, right?
Exactly.
John was, God prepared him well to prepare the way for Jesus.
John definitely did not read How to Win Friends and Influence People,
that's
did
right.
he?
No.
Well, maybe How to Influence People. He definitely did that.
Well, that's part of, I think, what we were talking about with, are we willing to share the consequences, unbelief and its consequences? And you and I were talking about this on Friday. It is a difficult thing to, it's easier to share the gospel, the good news, but as we've always said, there's got to be bad news in order for there to be good news. And are we willing to say to people, I've been guilty even of saying, well, the wages of sin is death. And what that means is eternal separation from God and being under the sentence of his wrath for eternity. And all that's true. But somebody might not feel the impact of that or understand it like they would understand. The Bible says that those who don't profess faith in Christ and who don't belong to him are going to spend eternity in hell.
Yeah.
That's about as blunt. Are we willing to be blunt like that? And I'm not saying be unloving or untactful or untactful, but, and I'm not saying hammer it on somebody like we're something special and that's why we're not going there. Mm-hmm. We're only not going there because of the grace of God. That's what has to come across.
Yeah. And you got to, the fact of the matter is, true for you, true for me, true for anybody
who's
been converted.
All in the same boat.
It's the Holy Spirit, and that's the work of the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely.
We're simply supposed to proclaim the word. We are to do what these 12 did. They went and, prepared the way. You know, they presented the euangelion.
Yep.
And, you know, if God's chosen people rejected his messengers, why should we expect anything different for us?
Yeah, that's right. Well, we're going to come back and we'll read the text when we come back from the break, and we'll get into the first point or two here in the lesson about this text about John the Baptist and about Herod's reaction to him, and not only Herod's reaction to him, but of course, Herodias's action. And she was Philip's wife, and she was also Philip's niece, which meant she was also Herod's niece.
Yeah,
so there's a lot going on there. There's a lot going on there. It is complicated, is right. We're going to take a break here at the bottom of the hour for the news. Our number is 844-777-7928. If you have a comment or a question, the text we're going to be looking at is Mark chapter 6, verses 14 to 29. If you'd like to follow along or read that in advance, and we will be right back after the break.
SRN News, I'm Greg Clugston in Washington. Israel-Hamas war protests continue to disrupt campus life at several colleges and universities across the country ahead of spring graduation ceremonies.
At Columbia University, an encampment sits on the lawn where graduation will take place. Students are demanding their universities cut financial ties with Israel over the large-scale operation in Gaza. Columbia officials say they won't bring police back in after arrests were made early in the encampment. Julie Walker, New York.
Secretary of State Blinken is in the Mideast again. It's his seventh trip to the region since the October 7th Hamas attack against Israel. He continues to push for a ceasefire agreement, the release of hostages, and an increased flow of humanitarian aid into Gaza. Small towns in Oklahoma are beginning a long cleanup after tornadoes left a path of destruction and killed at least four people this weekend, including an infant. Also at SRNnews.com, NATO's chief says alliance countries have not followed through in time on what they promised to Ukraine.
NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg said that serious delays in support have meant serious consequences on the battlefield for Ukraine. Ukrainian troops had to make a tactical retreat from three villages where Russian forces have been making gains. Ukraine and its Western partners are trying to release new military aid that can help check the Russian advance across eastern areas. Russia is a far bigger country than Ukraine, with greater resources to draw on. Stoltenberg said more weapons and ammunition for Ukraine are on the way. I'm Haya Pinjwani.
Former President Trump met privately with Florida Governor Ron DeSantis over the weekend. It came following their tough primary contest that was marked by insults. And according to people familiar with the discussion, the two men are making plans for potential joint fundraising efforts. This is SR.
You know, it's true. Difficult times have a way of focusing us. We have to think about what matters most when it comes to our spending, our health care. This is why so many people are joining MediShare right now. MediShare is a trusted way to save up to 50% on your monthly health care costs. More than 400,000 people have already made the switch. It's pretty obvious why, too, especially now during this challenging season with health care costs and out-of-pocket expenses going up. MediShare can save you a lot of money. The typical family saves $500 a month. MediShare works, too. It's been around for 30 years. Members have shared more than $5 billion of each other's bills. There are different options to choose from to fit your budget. I'll give you the number here in a second. And if you call, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Maybe now is the perfect time to make the switch and start saving. Here you go. Call 844-55-BIBLE. That's 844-55-BIBLE. 844-55-BIBLE.
There's major delays because of a multi-vehicle crash on the East Beltway on 295 northbound between US 17 and I-95, blocking the right lane. Also, there's a multi-vehicle accident on the West Beltway on 295 northbound before Normandy Boulevard. Partly cloudy tonight, low 65. Tuesday, mostly sunny, high 87. From the Traffic and Weather Center, I'm AJ.
Welcome back to SWAT Radio, everyone. David Gray and Brad Sykes, glad that you are with us. And I just realized my voice probably still sounds a little scratchy.
No, it sounds good, man. Sounds good.
Get the good
I think you should just sing the intro.
Yeah, got the good, yeah.
By the way, was that Need to Breathe? I can't remember if that was Need to Breathe. They were just in concert last night.
Oh, really? Yeah. Here?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You didn't see it, did you?
I did not. Oh. I've seen them several times. I think I mentioned this before. My middle daughter, Leah, worked for them. And when she did her internship with them in New York City.
Okay.
So pretty cool.
Very cool.
She always got me some tickets. I forgot to ask her.
Very cool. Well, as we said, we're looking at Mark chapter 6, verses 14 to 29, and talking about Herod and John the Baptist. And we were doing some introductory and remarks and some context about this passage. And just the last thing I'll say there is in Matthew 11:11 to give you, again, a familiar reminder of what Jesus had to say about John the Baptist. He said, "Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist, yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." And so John the Baptist is the last, if you will, of the Old Testament prophets preceding the coming of the Messiah. But Jesus said he was greater than any one of the other prophets up to that point because he actually saw with his own eyes and participated in the fulfillment of the Messiah arriving. And then Jesus comments about, but the least of those in the kingdom of heaven, meaning, you know, not of more value or of better in God's sight or in Jesus' sight, but that all of us on this side of the cross have now understand and have the full scriptures and see the atoning work of Christ, the death and resurrection of Christ, whereas John only saw that coming. He saw the shadowy kind of form of that coming in the future, but he didn't actually see it. So,
well, I think what's interesting, just before, because I know we're going to read this, and this was something Doug mentioned. He said, "Yeah, throughout history, when Jesus grows in popularity, religion and political power will always be fearful and stand against him." He quoted Tommy Nelson, "Religion hates the lamb. Political power hates the lion."
Right.
"Religion and, you know, that religion hates grace. Political power hates judgment." And man, that's a good reminder that when government abandons his absolute truth, which, man, do we see that? That the government becomes absolute, murderous, violent, and as we would, most of us would agree these days, insane.
And look at the false religions and philosophies and things that our government will advocate for.
Oh, my word.
And yet there's no question there's an increasing attack on Christianity, without a doubt, because it's true.
Yeah, exactly.
It's true. Yeah. And Satan knows it's true, and he's the great deceiver.
Yeah.
And so you don't attack something or go after something or worry about something that's not a threat. But government sees Jesus and his followers as a threat because they see someone who has a higher allegiance among followers than they do, than the government does.
Yep. Yeah.
And that's really where I think it comes from. It's You don't go after something that's a lie.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
well, you want to read the text?
Let's read the text.
Yep.
Mark chapter 6, 14 to 29. King Herod heard of it, and when we say heard of it, verse 13, it says, "And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them." That's the end of the passage about the disciples' mission trip. "King Herod heard of it, for Jesus' name had become known. Some said, 'John the Baptist has been raised from the dead. That is why these miraculous powers are at work in him.' But others said, 'He is Elijah.' And others said, 'He is a prophet like one of the prophets of old.' But when Herod heard of it, he said, 'John, whom I beheaded, has been raised.' For it was Herod who had sent and seized John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because he had married her. For John had been saying to Herod, 'It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife.' And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to put him to death, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he kept him safe. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he heard him gladly. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his nobles and military commanders and the leading men of Galilee. For when Herodias' daughter came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests. And the king said to the girl, 'Ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it to you.' And he vowed to her, 'Whatever you ask me, I will give you up to half my kingdom.' And she went out and said to her mother, 'For what should I ask?' And she said, 'The head of John the Baptist.' And she came in immediately with haste to the king and asked, saying, 'I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter.' And the king was exceedingly sorry, but because of his oaths and his guests, he did not want to break his word to her. And immediately the king sent an executioner with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in the prison and brought his head on a platter and gave it to the girl, and the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard of it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. Listeners, these are the very words of God.
Yeah. Four things we're going to look at this week, and we'll get maybe through the first one, as we often struggle to kind of move through
that
the entire
happens.
Text. But we're going to see that God reveals ungodly men live life apprehensive and afraid. Boy, we saw that. We see it that men live life with no certainty or conviction. They live life unprincipled and unrestrained. They live life, fourthly, as insecure people pleasers. Mm. By the way, just right up front, we're all guilty of that, mm-hmm. right? Apprehensive and afraid. No certainty or conviction. You know, and yes, we have conviction, but do we live like that? You know, unprincipled and unrestrained. Finally, an insecure people pleaser, as insecure people pleaser. I am a recovering people pleaser, as I have said in the past. So I'll let you take that text.
Yeah, well, that's going to be toward the 24 to 29 when he realizes, uh-oh, I just made that promise and I got all these people sitting around that I don't want to look stupid in front of. So
yep, absolutely.
So, but you're right. The first point of him being apprehensive and afraid really is verses 14 to 16, and where it says that Herod, in verse 14, heard of Jesus' name becoming known. Jesus' name, his fame, if you will, his reputation, the works he's doing are becoming well-known nationally, and rightly so. Yeah. I mean, he's doing all kinds of miracles and healings, and the teaching, as we've seen of Jesus, people are saying, we've never heard teaching like this with this kind of authority. So Herod hears of that, and then some people are saying, oh, there's all kinds of rumors, right? Jesus asks the disciples, right, at one point that's going to come up in Mark 8, who do people say that I am?
Right.
And a lot of these same answers are given. He's John the Baptist. Yeah. He's Elijah.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to find that passage in Malachi. But Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 says, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes, and he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. Well, that's John the Baptist, yeah. right? And Jesus talks about that. Not that he is Elijah reincarnated. He is a type of Elijah. He's coming in the same mode, if you will, as Elijah to prepare the way and to turn the hearts of the people back to God, right?
Yeah,
to prepare them by preaching repentance. And so, but Herod doesn't believe that he's John the Baptist or a prophet. I'm sorry, Elijah or a prophet of old, does
right,
he?
Right. I think what's interesting, I mean, Herod, it's Doug in his notes said Herod could disregard a local prophet, a religious leader, but when Jesus's influence began to grow nationally, he became paranoid. He became afraid. You know, I'm teaching through Acts again in our Friday morning group, and we're seeing the church grow, and the political leaders and the Pharisees, the religious leaders, are paranoid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they're losing control.
Yeah, yeah. Another note Doug had that I thought was really good, along to your point. Governments and pagan cultures don't have an adequate answer to explain Jesus.
Exactly,
they do not. And Herod's answer was clearly to be afraid, right? And he believes that this has to be John the Baptist, and this is God's divine judgment on him for killing John,
right?
And so, you know, if John was raised from the dead, he was raised in Herod's mind to bring judgment of God on his enemies. Namely, Herod, who killed him. And, you know, that's understandable, right? That he would think that.
Yeah.
That he would think that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we know there's a couple passages, you know, kind of along those lines, Romans 1, 18 and 19, that talk about the wrath of God being revealed against all types of ungodliness. And then Galatians 6, verse 7, talking about God will not be mocked. We reap what we sow.
Yeah.
Sobering passages.
Amen. And we'll jump into that when we come back.
That one, I probably shouldn't bring those up right at the break, but I have a knack for that. So.
That's good.
Anyway, going to come to our last break of the day here. Our number is 844-777-7928. If you have a comment or a question, and we will continue in Mark 6 after the break.
This program has the potential to reach millions of men each week. If you'd like to learn how you can support this unique program that is helping men understand the truth about Jesus through God's Word and how to impact their lives and the lives of others, then go to www.swatradio.com. Then click on the donate link to help SWAT Radio pass on the truth for the next generation. SWAT Radio is underwritten in part by The Guardian Group. You know Brad Sykes as co-host of SWAT Radio. While Brad is committed to making disciples both on and off the air, his ministry extends into the marketplace as a licensed real estate agent with Keller Williams Southside. Brad and his wife Vicki are real estate agents in Northeast Florida. They are the founding partners of The Guardian Group. They help people buy, sell, and invest in real estate with offices near Butler and Southside Boulevards. 904-580-7255. That's 904-480-7255. And online at guardiangroupjax.com. That's guardiangroupjax.com. The Guardian Group. Happy to bring you SWAT Radio on the truth. The Florida Georgia Truth Network, on the air in Arlington at 91.7.
Look down from a broken sky, traced out by the city lights. My world from a mile high, best seat in the house tonight. Touchdown in the cold black top. Hold on for the sudden stop. Breathe in the familiar shock of confusion and chaos. All those people.
Welcome back to SWAT Radio, everyone. David Gray and Brad Sykes. Glad you're with us as we come to you Monday, April, what's today? Is today the 29th?
29th, I think. Yeah.
Boy, it continues to fly by. And we are looking at Mark chapter 6, verses 14 to 29, kind of a flashback, if you will, here, where we move away, as Brad said earlier, where from Jesus kind of being the main focus to have a brief reminder of Herod and John the Baptist and what happened between them and how John was martyred as a prophet, very similar to so many of the Old Testament prophets, and of course, also very similar to the one for whom he came to prepare the way in Jesus. So we mentioned that God reveals ungodly men live lives of that are apprehensive and afraid with no certainty or conviction, unprincipled and unrestrained, and as insecure people pleasers. And we've been looking at this first point about Herod being apprehensive and afraid here in verses 14 to 16. And before the break, Brad, we were talking about, you know, Herod being convinced that as Jesus' fame and reputation grew, he became fearful of that, fearful that Jesus might be who he said he was.
Yeah, yeah.
And
well, you brought up Romans 1. I think it was 17 and 18 or 18 and 19.
And 19.
You know, 17, for the gospel reveals the righteousness of God that comes by faith from start to finish. Just as it's written, the righteous will live by faith. John the Baptist lived by faith.
Right.
How does Herod live? By fear.
Yeah.
He lives by fear. Verse 18, the wrath of God, this is again Romans 1. Most people know this verse, the wrath of God. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. And by the way, you know, we're not, you know, we're, I was thinking of Romans 3:9, that what are we any better? No, we're not. We're not any better. We're just covered by the blood of Christ.
It's that God's wrath for all that unrighteousness in our case is poured out on Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
And That's the only chance anybody has.
That's right. And Romans 1:19 goes on, says, for what may be known about God is plain to them. Mm-hmm. It's plain to Herod.
Yeah.
You know, you think about it. Who is this? Is this John the Baptist, Elijah, whatever it is? He knows what's going on, mm-hmm. and he's fearful.
Yeah, yeah. And then Galatians 6:7, we mentioned that. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that also will he reap.
Yeah.
And so Herod is right to be afraid in many ways. And the question is, what do we do about it, mm-hmm. right? And this is the bad news. This is the bad news for which the gospel is the only remedy and is why the gospel is good news, why euangelion is, it also, I read a translation of euangelion that literally means the good announcement. Because we know it was an announcement or a pronouncement, and it's translated as the good announcement. It's good because this is really bad. This is the worst news we could possibly hear, that we're under the sentence of God's wrath.
But we need to hear it.
Absolutely.
This kind of gets to the point we were talking about last week. Are we so busy pleasing man that we're unwilling to please God?
Mm.
We've got, if we love people, we'll share the consequences of this.
Yeah.
I think of the scripture. It says the way of the transgressor is hard. Mm-hmm. Job 4:8. It says, as I have observed, those who plow iniquity and those who sow trouble reap the same.
Hmm.
Is it not true for us? Is it not true in your life and mine?
Proven it many times. Not that I needed to prove scripture to be true, but yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, it's the quicker we can learn that in life, the better off we are. But it is not. Our will and our flesh is fights hard, for sure.
Well, I think that Galatians 6:7, do not be deceived. Not only, you're deceived in thinking you're deceiving God.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, it's the opposite. You're deceived.
Correct.
He's not deceived.
Right.
You know.
Right. And that it's a changed life that is the evidence that we are getting this.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's not just... And we've talked about this so many times, that full picture of the gospel that we talked about over last summer with the discipleship gospel book that we worked through, and that the idea is that we are moving under euangelion, we're moving from self-rule under the rule of Jesus. Not perfectly, as we always say, but that there is a change in our life. It's not mm-hmm. just we say we believe and we want fire insurance, as our pastor likes to say, and have Jesus as our Savior, but we're willing to obey him as the King because he is the King.
Yeah.
That's a fact. It's not, well, that's my truth or your truth. It's a fact. He is the King. God's kingdom is here. He's the King. And are we going to submit to his rule?
Yeah.
And as we've talked about so many times, that makes the gospel so much bigger. And Herod's a good example here of someone who's trying to, and we're going to see it as we work through the passage throughout the week, someone who's fence-sitting, if there ever is mm-hmm. one, right? Trying to see which way the wind's blowing and do what's best politically and also do what's best for him, but not do what's best according to God.
Mm. Mm.
So, you know, the next point, I know, you know, you guys will talk about this more tomorrow, but that ungodly men live lives with no certainty or conviction. And that's verses 17 through 20 in this passage in Mark. And, you know, in this case, just to reread those verses, it was Herod who had sent and seized John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because he had married her. For John had been saying to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to put him to death, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man and kept him safe. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he heard him gladly. So Herod is the quintessential, right? Allowing himself to be caught between a rock and a hard place so much. He's got a wife who doesn't like John the Baptist and who I'm sure is in his ear all the time,
mm-hmm.
right, about mm-hmm. it. What are you going to do about this? Yeah. And yet he knows there's something about John, knows that he's holy, knows that he's a righteous man, but is unable because of, you know, who he really is unable to act with certainty or conviction.
You had mentioned this, I think, before we went into the break about Herodias, who she was. It's kind of, it's messy. It's a very complicated relationship, obviously. Herodias was Philip's niece.
And his wife.
Yeah. Herod the Great. This is Herod the Great's granddaughter. Wow.
Right.
Philip lived in Rome and has been disheartened by Herod the Great. It's just, you think about how complicated this must have been.
Yeah.
You know, of course, we look at this and go, that's jacked up. Yeah. I mean, that's messed up.
Right.
Yet, there you are.
Yeah.
No certainty, no conviction. You know, aren't you? I mean, you think about the country, and we kind of started off our broadcast today just talking about the freedom that we have in our country. But it's not free to do whatever you want.
Right.
You know, we have, I'm going to go from here somewhere else out toward the beach, and I'm going to have to obey some signs. I'm going to have to obey some laws.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Herod didn't, you know, he was that. He had no convictions.
Yep. Yep. And the contrast here in these verses with John
exactly
is remarkable. And of course, that's intentional. I'm sure the scripture lays it out this way intentionally. Mark lays it out because John is about as certain and as convicted as you can be.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And as we said earlier, didn't fear any man right up to the top.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And kept telling him it's unlawful for you to have your brother's wife. Yeah. And of course, that's Leviticus 20:21, where God calls that wrong in no uncertain terms.
Yeah. Well, it gets to the point that, I mean, you know, when we see evil and we see it regularly, that we have to speak, whether it's abortion or sodomy or immorality or just anything that goes against God's commands. Now, you and I may have touched on this a week or two ago. We seem to do this often, is that we need to get the 2x4 out of our own eye before we get the speck out of our brother's eye.
Right.
But when we see sin, we need to confront it.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's not popular in our culture.
No.
Can't we just get along? Isn't that what everybody, you know, wants? We all just want to get along.
Yeah. Yeah. Doug had the note, the people of God are the conscience of a country.
Exactly.
And if we're, the people of God are not standing up and speaking out because of oppression and persecution and fear, then what's going to happen to the country?
Mm-hmm.
What's going to happen to the country?
Yeah. Right? Well, and we see this in scripture. I mean, Moses confronted Pharaoh, Elijah confronted Ahab, you know, and Jezebel and Jeremiah. You know, you think if you were to ask, have we confronted sin in someone?
Mm.
You know, now we need to do that, you know, carefully, but we still need to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the best thing for that person.
Yeah. That's right.
I mean, I think of the passage in Hebrews where it talks about God disciplining those that he loves.
That's right.
And true discipline. And that's what we should be seeking to do. Not that I guess it could be under the umbrella of discipline, but it's also under the umbrella of loving and caring for someone. That if we don't love or care for someone, why would we discipline them? Why would we be so adamant in telling them the truth? It's because we are for them and for their benefit. And God's, you know, the Bible says in Hebrews, don't be alarmed about that. Or don't worry so much about that. God's treating you like a son.
Yeah.
And the idea of discipline, real discipline, is always change. It's not punishment.
Mm-hmm.
It might feel like punishment.
Right.
It does sometimes, but it's change, right? Think about with your kids and my kids. We did it imperfectly, but there were times when we did it right, I hope, and we disciplined them because we knew that was the right thing for their good.
Amen.
And so, you know, that's what God does with us, and that's what our goal should be as we speak out against these things that we see. So another quick hour, man.
I know.
And you and I probably won't be together now for a little bit.
Oh,
so
word.
We will... catch up down the road.
Yeah, exactly. Good to be with you, brother.
Yeah, you too. Thanks so much, everyone, for listening. As always, Doug and Brad will be here tomorrow to continue this chapter and passage in Mark 6. and have a great rest of the day.